somehow, this month, we recorded 3 episodes in a row, all having to do with the city of Chicago. But now, this week, it's time to head down to Miami, baby.
And it's the end of the month. In fact, it's the end of month 2 of the year in which we are covering all of the Fast and Furious movies 1 month at a time. So in honor of month 2, it's time for Too Fast, Too Furious.
How Star Wars is it?
Well, hello there, Mike.
Hi, Josiah, and hello, listeners. That's
hello,
you.
Listeners.
That's you hearing this.
That's you, and you, and you, and you, and you.
And it's adieu. Just those 5.
It's just those 5, that's all. And welcome to the show. This is How Star Wars Is It. It's the only podcast, and we rate and review things on a scale of 1 to 10, not of how good or bad they are, but of how Star Wars they are.
And aren't you glad we aren't doing Chicago?
Aren't you glad we're not doing Chicago? I just... mere hours ago uploaded the Chicago 2 episode.
I thought you were going to say just mere hours ago you said the joke, orange, you glad I didn't say banana.
No, but I did. You know what's funny? Okay, here's, have you heard the internet joke like about shrimp fried rice?
Yes. You tell me
you're
shrimp fried
this rice?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're telling me you're shrimp fried this rice? So like Charlie and I just went on vacation. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
And we were... in like line to go through customs coming back into the States.
Uh-huh.
And she said something and her, mm-hmm. just her like tone was like, you telling me I shrimp fried this rice? Like it was that kind of like
uh-huh.
Shape of the like, you know, vowel
yeah,
sounds.
Yeah.
And so I just said to her, you telling me I shrimp fried this rice? And she hadn't heard it before. She died laughing.
Oh,
like
great.
Almost to the point where I was had to be like, we're in customs.
Hey, this is like
cool
kind
it.
Of serious.
Yeah. And she was just like dying laughing. And then I was like, you know, you can also do it for chicken. And then I was like, you tell me a chicken fried this rice? And then she died again. And I was like, you're loving this. This is making me very happy.
Great.
So that's like, but not, it wasn't orange. You glad you said, oh, you said banana, but it was maybe my new favorite joke, which is, you telling me a shrimp fried this rice?
I have a theory on that joke. It works the best in, like, the East Coast.
Sure.
Where people would say orange.
Oh, you're talking about the shrimp one.
No,
I was
am.
Like, okay.
No. Like, I remember as a kid hearing that, like, orange, you glad I didn't say banana? And
yes,
I was like,
yes.
I
do
don't
mean?
Get what you're saying.
Yeah, why are you saying orange in a weird way? Or why are you saying aren't in
why
a weird way?
Why are you
way?
Saying the name of a fruit and then you glad I didn't say
it? Yeah,
anyway,
it doesn't quite
we're not
work.
Talking about shrimp fried rice or oranges this week.
No.
We rate and review things on a scale of 1 to 10 of how Star Wars it is, and this week we are talking about the second Fast and the Furious movie, Too Fast, Too Furious. We're doing one
yeah.
every month till the
every
end
month.
Of the year.
You know what this
because
movie is?
Because we haven't
is.
Seen them, although we have both
no.
seen this one before. But
yeah, so
we are,
I have seen...
We are now caught up to our... The
yes.
amount we've ever seen.
I had seen the first and the second one for some reason.
Like
oh,
in
no,
COVID
I remember.
Or something.
During 2020, my dad and I were
yeah.
like, was living at home. My dad and I were like, we're going to watch Fast and Furious. And we watched the first one, second one. And we were both kind of like, those were fun. But then we just like lost steam
yeah.
and didn't keep going. Because we had a lot of stuff to watch during 2020. There was a lot of TV. That's all you did was, all we did was watch stuff.
Yeah.
And we had to go rewatch Star Trek stuff.
Sure.
We couldn't be watching
you
new
had
movies.
To.
We had to. But this is 2003, which is just a mere 2 years, so pretty fast turnaround
uh-huh.
After the first one.
You could even say it was too fast.
Maybe too fast. Okay, so
certainly
here's...
Certainly it was too furious.
Certainly too furious. I have, like, a lot to say about this movie.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so, okay, first off, I know these movies go on to become, like, crazy,
right.
huge action set pieces, right? Like, in the Wikipedia for... the franchise, basically it says the first 4 movies are about illegal street racing. Then after that, they become kind of like heist thrillers.
Right.
Where they're pulling off like car heists, you know?
Which is funny because the first one has that a little.
It does have some heist elements to it, for sure. But this one is more it like doubles down on like the undercover aspect of the first one. Because in the first one, Brian is like undercover to basically figure out who's stealing all these DVD players.
Right.
And then
and
it turns
he's
out
definitely a cop.
And he's definitely a cop.
But he
right?
kind
he's,
of like, you know, forgoes but, that life to protect the family. But in this one, it's like, I gave up being a cop, but like,
or like
I
he
need
was
to
fired
do it again.
He was like fired from being a cop, right. maybe. It sort of makes it seem like he was dishonorably discharged.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
now all he does is race cars.
Right.
And so like a couple things about this movie. One, I think even more than the first movie, this movie is a musical where the songs are car races.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like there's something that's said about like like martial arts movies, you know, like action movies, especially martial arts ones where they are musicals, but instead of songs, you break out into a fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like anytime the emotion gets too high, we're just going to have a fight. So
sure.
the fights...
Like
and
superhero
the fights,
movies.
Exactly. And the fights move the plot along. Ideally, if you have a well-crafted fight in an action movie, it's going to take the plot from somewhere different
right.
than it was when the fight started.
Right.
Same in this movie with just illegal car races.
Yeah.
Everything can be solved. It's like, if you need something, the first thing you think is like, all right, so how can we get that thing, but doing a race?
Yes.
Like, can we figure out a way to get that through doing a race?
I know,
is that
totally.
The best way
it's,
to do it?
It's like how everyone in the Scream movies are like horror movie experts.
Yes.
Everybody
yes,
in this yes. movie is like, car, like when all you have is a car, every problem looks like a car.
Yeah, exactly. Like every it is the hammer and nail with car and car races. They're like, well, I don't know. We could like, what do we need? Well, we need cars.
Yeah.
How do we get cars? Well, car race. Okay.
It's
all
honestly
right, let's do a car
it's
race.
Why a movie like Ocean's 11 is so compelling to me, because like you can kind of take a movie one of two directions. A movie like this where it's like action kind of heist adjacent. Mm-hmm. You either get a whole bunch of specialties and then you like show off the interesting ways you're utilizing them, or you kind of pick one thing and then make everything be that.
Yes.
But
and
like,
this totally doubles down on that. Like everyone is just good at driving.
Yeah. Which is why I think Ocean's 11 is considerably better than The Italian Job. Movies we've talked about, both of which on this show, and we like both, but like,
yeah.
The Italian Job's in a funny spot where it's got like six people or something.
Yes.
And
it's like almost
while
not enough.
They have specialties. They're almost like, I don't know, like too specific. They're almost like the too specificness of this movie where everybody's specialty is car.
Yes.
Like, yes. Okay, well, everything's going to be a car related thing. In Ocean's 11, or in Italian Job, one person's specialty is like cracking safes, which is like.
Yes.
That's it?
That's all you do? Shouldn't you also be like, I don't know, like good at running?
Yeah, right.
Maybe,
whereas
I don't know.
In Ocean's 11, like, I mean, arguably, it's like 7 or 8 of the 11 are just like good social manipulators. And then there's the Chinese acrobat.
Yes, it's like most, like, they're like half of them are just face men, but they're like, but they're good at being face
but,
men.
But like the sort of like shell game magic trick of Ocean's 11 is cool because, like, you know, a gun is never fired, for example.
Right.
Whereas
right.
like in Italian Job, it's like a little clumsier. And then this is like kind of came out around the same time as those. I would say this movie mm-hmm. is generally kind of clumsy, but I also had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I watched it with Charlie. So Charlie has committed to watching all these with
okay.
me. Now, she didn't really watch the first one. She basically played Zelda during it, and she kind of was shit-talking it because she was like, this didn't make any sense. And I was like, you were
not watching.
Watching the movie. This one she watched fully with me, and she had, like, I think we both were like, that was fun, but it wasn't like, I don't know if it's like good.
No, it's not good.
You know what I mean?
It's
like
fun.
It's not good. It's fun. And then like
by
I
the
think
way,
what this
you want to know how fun this movie is? They
how
A
fun.
Do a movie studio title card logo thing where, you know, like the Warner Brothers logo at the beginning of Batman and Robin gets frozen or whatever.
Yes.
They do that with the Universal logo. It turns into like a hydraulic, like metal, like bouncing logo.
Yes,
so that
totally.
Is enough to tell you, like, you're about to have fun for
this
100
is
minutes.
A fun one.
Yeah.
It's just like kind of fun. So but here's the problem with this movie though. So we change, or here's one of the problems with this movie. We change locales, uh-huh, right? Entirely. We move across the country entirely. Because the first one takes place in LA. Am I that's correct, right?
That's right.
And this one goes to Florida. We're in Miami.
Yeah.
So it's like a similar vibe because it's still like beachy.
Yeah.
But it's entirely different part of the country.
Right.
And we lose most of the cast. We replace most of the cast with new players.
Right.
Which
it's basically
like,
just Brian. I think his like FBI handler is there. I can't remember if that's the same
FBI
guy.
Yes, the FBI handler is there for sure. It's weird.
It's weird that they thought the secret sauce was Paul Walker.
Yes, that's what I was texting.
I think
you.
He's
I was like,
good at these movies, but
he is good at these movies, but like that's why I texted you. I was like, their big like fumble in this movie is thinking that Paul Walker was the glue that held this movie together when it's obviously Vin Diesel.
Well, Vin Diesel, but also like the sort of culture around, you know, like
yes, the
and,
family.
And they, you know, it's funny. I think they kind of just like took the last script and then did a sort of find and replace type of approach for this.
Yeah.
Because like there are a lot of similarities, you know, they were like, okay, he needs a new kind of like family, and this like scene around the cars and around Tej's garage, like we'll make Tej be the Vin Diesel type who kind of like is the ringleader, but maybe we'll make him a little goofier than Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like they took every character and they're like, oh, there needs to be a hot girl who can drive and then a hot girl who's just the hot girl. And then there needs to be a bunch of other dudes who drive.
Yeah, they kind of took everybody's parts and like everybody's roles in the first one and like and divided them up into like different pieces.
Which is and then very Star Wars
very,
sequels.
Very, yes, very sequel trilogy. And then handed them out because like, and you know, I revealed in the episode about the Fast and Furious, that I love Michelle Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a big crush on her. And so she was missing big for me.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel was missing big for me. I wonder if any
Ted
of these
Levine
characters
was missing big.
Ted
for
Levine,
me.
We gotta get him back. I wonder if any of these characters come back in the big ones that are like popular now.
Well, I think Ludacris is in a lot of them.
Yeah,
but we'll
which
see
is great.
Throughout the
we'll
year.
See. We'll see. We'll find out.
The like, snow will melt. The flowers will bloom. The leaves will start to fall.
Yeah, and we will find out who all gets to come back.
Yeah.
But there is some, like, what this movie does, too, is it introduces, like, Brian lore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you want to know why? You want to know why he let Dom Toretto go?
Right.
Well, it's because he felt guilty about not helping his
you know,
best friend.
I don't mind that rationale. You know, like,
it's
whereas
like fine,
you haven't
yeah.
seen it yet, but I can't not talk about it because it's been like a year. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning.
Oh, yes. I just, God, have I not seen
there's
that
there's a whole subplot in that where they talk about, like, Ethan lore. Like,
oh,
like
interesting.
Why he got into the IMF, which is like, we saw Mission Impossible in 1996. What are you talking about? It's too late to get into that now. Whereas the second movie, it feels a little bit like explaining Sydney's, you know, mom in Scream 3 or like Billy Loomis's mom in Scream 2, you know, like.
Yeah, it's a little it's retroactive.
Like, you guys all saw the first one, right? Here's like a thing we didn't tell you because we didn't know, but like it
and also
it's not too late to incorporate that.
Yeah, it's funny because you're not, you know what? It's very Star Wars.
Yeah,
it's answering question. It's answering questions we did not ask.
Well, and it's also saying like the bad guy is the good guy's dad.
Right. Totally.
Like
totally.
Not exactly, but it's giving. Yeah, it's answering questions we weren't asking, but it's also like it's not the like goofy answering questions we weren't asking. It's just like, let's give this guy more of a character since, like, we decided he's going to be the guy.
He's going to be the guy, so we got to bring him back and it, like, really flesh him out. It's fun. There's some good set pieces in this, some good car races in this. They do, it's very much similar to the first one where they have, like, some real goofy sequences where they're like, the NOS.
Dude,
the NOS is so
effect
important.
In this looks like going into hyperspace. I think we said that last month where like that was kind of like a adjacency, but in this it's like the background gets all blurry and they're going like whoa.
Charlie kept being like, because they would zoom in on like when they would hit the NOS, they would zoom in on the speedometer, right? And then they'd be like, oh, they're pushing 120, they're going way too they're going so fast. And Charlie was like, how fast were they going before?
Right.
She's like, they already looked like they were going going 120 and now they're actually going 120?
Yeah.
And I was like, I know, it doesn't make any sense. And then also, like, during those car chases with, like, the cops,
yeah,
I'm like, how fast are we actually going on the highway? Because it is impossible to gauge.
Yes.
You know, they're zipping in between cars and stuff. And I'm like, it looks like you're going 100 miles per hour. Like, you're probably not, because I don't think you could have the control to zip in between cars right. like that at 100 miles per hour. Have you ever driven 100 miles per hour?
I have.
So have I. Yeah.
But we're to say I did and then immediately let up my foot off the gas.
Yeah. I did it one time. This is so stupid, but I was like, we were about to leave for a choir trip. And like, it was like, the bus is leaving at 10. We got to leave at 10. And one of my friends had forgotten her music at her house that she needed. And she lived like right outside of town. And it was like 9:40. And they were like, oh, there's no way we can make it there and back in 20 minutes. And I was like, let me try. And I really pulled a Brian O'Connor where I was like,
yeah.
And like was driving like, okay, so my high school car was a Ford Escort, I believe it was called. Uh-huh. It was a station wagon from 1989.
Jeez.
So I was driving an 89 station wagon, where in 89, the speed limit was 55. And so the speedometer only went to 95. And so I was off the speedometer. That's how fast I was going.
That is wild.
Which is too fast.
Yeah. Too furious. By the way, like, the views and anecdotes expressed by the hosts of How Star Wars Is It do not reflect those of the production itself, nor do they reflect... nor do they indicate any recommendations to
the
listenership.
Endorsing of any actions. Yeah. We do not think driving fast is cool.
No.
Drive safely.
So... in that first sequence, there's just sort of like, hey, you guys want to learn what this world is? It's a race.
Yeah, it's about, yeah, it's a race.
there was a moment that I wrote, oh my God, dead. The
yes!
like, guy gets like fucking squished.
Yes. Yes. When he gets like crushed by a, is it a
truck?
A semi, I think.
Yeah.
He gets, like,
or like an
crushed.
Oil tanker or something.
Yes.
I also
Charlie had
at one
a similar
point,
response.
Was that green screen? There's like, I can't remember now exactly what it was, but there's like a shot inside a car, I think like that is getting like spun out or crashed or something, that I like could have sworn there was like unrendered green screen in it. And then the next shot showed it like, you know, stalled out on the side of the road. And I think it may have just been like a green billboard behind it, but it looked like chroma key green to me.
That's really funny. They're just like, they just forgot to animate that one section.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the first sequence is just like, here's a street race.
Yeah.
Hey, this is what we do here.
Also,
everything
like,
is solved by street
know.
Races.
We're all already risking our lives going so damn fast.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need the guy organizing the race to raise a drawbridge?
I know.
That
to
feels,
be like, here's...
I feel like even though I won the race as Paul Walker, I would have like stopped the car at the end and gotten out and been like, what the hell was that, dude?
I know. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? You could have killed me.
Yeah.
Like, why did you do that and not tell us?
Yeah.
But that's just the way it goes in Miami, baby. Like, they love their raising the stakes,
mm-hmm.
okay? In Miami, we raise the stakes. We raise the drawbridges, we raise the stakes.
Yeah.
And then, so Paul Walker gets... Okay, also, like, okay, Suki is, like, the hot, supposed to be hot girl of this, like, new crew. And she might be the most interesting looking person I've ever seen.
Yeah, she is very interesting looking.
She's very interesting looking. And I gotta say once again, where's the ass?
You say that, but you don't gotta say that.
You don't have to. No one is making you say that.
But the answer is, it was 2003.
It's 2003, yeah.
The answer it was not on screen.
It wasn't on screen. It was still, skinny was still in. So we have a lot of like really skinny, like not like heroin chic necessarily, but just skinny gals, you know, in bikinis. Because it's Miami, baby.
Yeah, it's
what
Miami,
else are you gonna
baby.
What else are you gonna do? And then we got Ava. So wait, Ava Mendez isn't here yet. But FBI, the returning FBI agent, Bilkins.
Yeah.
And then the customs agent.
I just like
Which
don't
is funny
care.
That,
it's just like Mission Impossible. I know. I feel like we even said this last week. I reckon that we are going to start comparing these movies to Mission Impossible far more than we compare them to Star Wars, because like they have a similar thing where it's like they eventually became a different thing and they figured out what that was, but it wasn't right away. And in the meantime, no matter which one you're watching, don't bother paying attention.
Like, no, don't. None of these guys in these first couple, don't worry about it. Like, these guys don't matter yet.
He's
like,
the good guy. He's the bad guy.
Yeah. Charlie was making me laugh a lot because she was like, this movie is confusing me with all the layers of like double agent stuff.
Yeah.
And I was, and I kind of was that same thing of like, just like, let it wash over you.
Yeah.
Just let it wash over you.
Yeah. It's like, not, confusion isn't the right thing to feel.
No. Just
whether
like,
or not it is confusing you, notwithstanding, you can't allow yourself to be confused by this movie. Yeah.
Just let it wash over you.
Did you experience see the hydraulic bouncing Universal logo right at the beginning?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you noticed
now, did that every problem is,
yeah. Have you noticed that every problem is solved by a race, a car race?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing in this movie. It's
like,
just like,
oh,
all
no,
you need to know
the
is
the boat took off and it's gonna get away. Well, let's launch our car at it.
Let's drive our car real
really
fast.
Really brought a car to a knife fight.
Yeah, a car to an yeah. That is like the thesis statement of the mission of these. I almost said Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Of the Fast and Furious movies is like, we brought a car to a knife fight.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is a gunfight, actually. We still brought a car.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is actually a plane, right? It's a plane fight?
Yeah.
We still brought a car. We brought a car for everything. And yes, they are souped up Honda Civics.
Yeah.
Or no, that was last movie,
it
wasn't
was,
it?
But they're all, I'm always sort of surprised when I see whatever the cars are. I think there was one or two that were like, surprising to the people within the movie, like, oh wow, that's a nice car or whatever, but like so many of them are just like, oh, that's like the car that like my cousin has.
yeah, but it's all souped up.
Yeah,
this one was very Pimp My Ride. Like, there was parts of it that felt very Pimp My Ride, which was happening like around the same time or maybe a little after these movies, because I remember watching Pimp My Ride with my friends when I was like in eighth grade. Yeah. Which would have been
we
like,
talked about that with the last week's episode too, with or last month rather, because Fast and Furious, like, it takes place in LA. That's where Pimp My Ride was. It
right.
was like so the culture that moment.
Totally.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's at the end of that whole first sequence, there's like a magic EMP Camino saber dart.
Yes. It's funny you say that, because Charlie was like, magic? What's happening?
Yeah. Like, truly magic.
Like, she was like, it's very science fiction, this what's happening right
but,
now. And I was like, you're
and,
right.
And I mean, that's literally, I just made a Star Wars reference, but like, they do the thing of like, you see it once in the beginning. It's like Chekhov's magical EMP dart.
Yes.
If you see one used in the first act, it is likely that you might see it used again in the third act.
You know it's going to come back. Yeah, it is like,
and sorry,
truly,
I think the actual phrasing of that is, if a magic EMP saber dart is hung above a mantle in the first act.
It has to be fired by the third act, yeah. Yeah, it is like really, they shoot like Brian's car with a like claw that like craps
it. Yeah, like harpoon.
Electrocutes it to where it make all the electronics stop, and then it makes the car stop, which is like smart, but also like, is that real? I don't know
Couldn't
if that's
be.
Real or not. I don't think
couldn't
it's real. Couldn't be real. No, especially
I
not
like
2003.
I wish Brian would have reacted like little Annie Bobani in the pod racer. Like, uh-oh, that's not good.
Yes. Now this is street racing. Yeah. And so we get there, a lot of stuff happened. I mean, not a lot of stuff. Honestly, this movie is kind of like relatively, like, I don't know, not straightforward, but it's like, there's like double agents. Everyone's a double agent.
Right.
Eva Mendez, I guess, is in the movie, and she's the other woman. This movie does also treat women badly.
Yeah.
I don't think we have reached a point in Fast and Furious where the women get like equal footing.
Right.
And I don't know if we're ever going to get that.
Yeah, I doubt that we will.
Also, I wonder what the new ones are like, because I think that Michelle Rodriguez gets a little more like agency, and then I know we get like Charlize Theron's in one of them and stuff like that, so like we'll see what happens, but we have not gotten to that point yet. These are still solidly boy movies.
Yes.
For boys about boys.
Yes.
No girls allowed. And then there was this like weird, okay, so like Eva Mendez has like a strange, her name is Monica Fuentes in the movie, she has like a weird, Brian is like attracted to her, obviously, but she has a relationship with the
guy she's going undercover to bust, the drug cartel guy.
The drug cartel guy, yeah. And so, he's like, stay away from my woman, you know, kind of vibes. But there's, this weird, a little bit of sexual tension between them. But then, later in the movie, they kiss one time, and it's just like, she's like, breaks into his little house to be like, his little boathouse to be like, they're going to kill you, Brian. They're going to kill you. And then she's like, I got to get out of here. They're going to find me. And then, we haven't even mentioned Rome yet. We haven't mentioned Roman.
Right.
But
Tyrese Gibson.
Tyrese Gibson is distracting them outside. And she they quickly just share a kiss. They're like, and then she leaves. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? That wasn't earned.
Yeah.
We have not seen anything to lead us to believe that these two are romantically interested in each other. Why did they kiss at that point?
Well,
that really
Leia
bothered
kisses
me.
Luke and says, for luck.
That's true. Maybe it was for
luck.
Maybe
she just senses he's her rescuer.
That's definitely possible.
By the way, okay, you mentioned him. You mentioned earlier Brian Lore is part of this movie. That Lore is namely in the form of Tyrese's character.
Yes, Roman Pierce,
who
baby.
Rules.
He's the best.
He's so funny.
He's really funny. He's really cool. He's good at driving.
I'm taking a guess that you wrote down this line in your notes if you took notes, but ejecto cito, cuz.
Yeah, dude. He's really injecting some, I don't know. There's I feel like, so Vin Diesel is solidly not white, but also does, what is he anyway? Hold on. I'm going to look up his ethnicity because I know it's mixed for sure. African-American father, adoptive. Sure. He's stated he has ambiguous ethnicity. Of course, we all know that. That's not helpful. But so anyway, but what Tyrese is giving us is a real actual black man character.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas in the first movie, there's some of those on the side, but this guy is
true.
He's unapologetically he's just a black dude, and he rules, and he says stuff and has black culture
he's cool and action hero guy, but also funny, but not in a goofball way where the funny guy in an action movie is goofy.
No, totally.
He just has character.
Yeah, he's just a cool character. He's an interesting character.
Yeah.
I wonder if he comes back. I kind of hope he comes back.
So.
Because I think Roman is a great character of friend of Brian as a kid.
Yeah.
Also just really good at racing.
Yeah, right.
I wonder where his career went after Fast and the Furious.
They have ejector seats.
I love that they have ejector seats. It's so funny.
It's really funny.
Brian's like they're doing a little creating a little montage of fixing the cars, and Brian just sits there and goes, he has an idea.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you got any half empty bottles of NOS lying around?
Oh, right. And that's Charlie, why he said that. Yes.
Charlie looked over me and she literally was like, ejector seat, and I was like, how did she guess? You knew it right away. It was really good.
Oh, then also he's such a tertiary character, but the double agent detective or just cop.
Oh yeah.
Who is a crooked detective in, I can't remember if it's Batman Begins or Dark Knight.
Batman Begins. I think it's Begins where
he's the same character.
He's the exact same character. Yeah. It's very funny that he plays the same character twice in two different
franchises. And they put a giant rat, the biggest rat you've ever seen.
Under a bucket,
and then he lights the bucket with a blowtorch.
He's like, he's going to dig through your tummy, which I'm like, that, I don't know if that is true or if that would work, but I know that, even if I was a bad drug cartel man, I don't think I could sit there while a live rat dug through a man's stomach to get to the ground. I think I'd be like, I'm gonna throw up, actually. Yeah. I can't watch this.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Terrible.
Oh! I'm just looking through all my notes. A couple of funny things. One, I'm jumping now to the kind of final set piece, which is essentially two or three acts in and of itself.
Yes, but it's so long.
It's there's a driving part, and then there's a driving part, and then at the end there's a driving part.
There's a third driving part, yeah.
But two things. One, the cartel guy sent his goons, one each, to ride with our two heroes to kind of keep them honest. And the one in Brian's car says, you're a good driver, man. And then Brian goes, thanks, bro.
I know. That exchange
part, like,
is,
really tickled me.
That exchange is so pure. Yeah. It's just like two guys.
Like, because he was like scared. He was like, I'm a bad guy goon, but
I
like,
will kill you.
I'm
yeah.
scared that we're going to get caught. And Brian is a great driver, and I feel like I have to say something.
Yeah, like, he's just like, you're a great driver.
But then
man.
The other thing I wrote was, as part of this like set piece, I think it's. Now I can't remember which helicopter was which, but I think it's like the customs people are
the live video feed.
The woman in the helicopter. Yeah. It's not the people who like Brian's working for. It's whoever the local.
It's the local PD. Yeah.
And I wrote the woman in the helicopter must have won a contest or something because like every line she delivered was the fucking worst read acting I've ever heard.
I kind of clocked that too. I was like, she's phoning it in, or
she
just doesn't know how
like,
to act.
They blocked off the road. They have nowhere to go.
yeah.
And
there
were at least one or two other line reads that, or one was like, who are those guys? Or something like that. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, she was rough. She was rough. She's just a friend of the director probably right. where they were like, you can come in and do a thing in a helicopter, right? Or maybe what if like she was just an actual helicopter
yeah.
pilot, and because they were like, well, we do need someone to fly
maybe.
It. And they were like, have you ever acted before? And she was like, in like, you know, grade school.
She's
I did
like
the school
flew the
play.
Helicopter that took a bunch of like second unit establishing shots of Jurassic Park.
Like, yeah, they're like,
that's
not great.
Acting. That's flying.
That's just flying.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I can definitely fly.
But then the other thing I wrote was the millions of cars thing was really cool.
Yes, the scramble.
Yeah.
I love the scramble yeah. set piece. I think it's the coolest thing that happens.
Yeah, it's cool.
In these first two movies, I think it's the most creative.
It definitely solidifies that opening scene of like, these four people are really trying to beat each other in this race, but none of them want to like kill each other.
Right.
They're just like a sports team.
Right. It's a community.
They're just like
it's
a community. Scene, like the improv scene.
Yes. The street racing scene is like, it is about winning and losing money, but like you're friends with everybody that
right.
you're
like
winning
having a
and losing
poker
money
night.
Against. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I think the scramble is so cool. It reminds me of, so there's this like trope in movies, which they do it in the Three Amigos, which I don't know what they're referencing in the Three Amigos, but I know they're referencing other older movies where when the bad guy, have you seen Three Amigos?
I haven't, really actually.
It's like a solid, you know, you got Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, and Martin Short
right.
In their prime,
right.
baby. So like really funny. It's basically Tropic Thunder or like Galaxy Quest where it's like actors have to are thought to be real. Heroes, uh-huh. and so they are called to Mexico to try to save a village, and the way they do it in the end is they have all the people in the village make a bunch of Three Amigos costumes, and so then when the bad guys come into town, they don't know who the real Three
sure.
Amigos are because they're all wearing Three Amigos outfits,
sure.
and they're all like shooting at them, and so they're like, who do we fight, and so that's what the scramble is it's that same like classic Hollywood movie
yeah.
idea. That trope of like, we don't know who the
like
bad guy
is. Did you ever see the Thomas Crown Affair with Pierce Brosnan?
No.
He like
no.
steals a Rene Magritte painting, and then like everybody all of a sudden, as like the museum security is trying to find the person who stole it, they know that the profile they're trying to find is a man wearing a little bowler hat and a trench coat.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden there's like 30 of that guy all walking
yes.
in different directions inside the museum.
It's that same idea.
Yeah.
It's a fun little trope in like movies, and I love it. I think it's super fun, and they do it really well in this.
Yeah,
and then you get the community
or,
feel
oh,
too, like
you know
you were
what
saying.
It is. Did you ever see Baby Driver?
Yes,
the
actually,
sequence
I did see Baby
with
Driver.
Like the red car in the getaway. It's like the opening sequence, I think, and then he drives on the highway, and then like slots right between two other red cars, and they're all going
yes.
like the same speed. It's like shell game
yes.
kind of stuff.
Exactly, totally. But yeah, this movie is fun.
It's fun.
It's fun. There are parts of it that are like, I don't know how Star Wars, I think you're right in that it is like sequel trilogy-y because they split up the roles and like recast the roles.
Yeah. And they all kind of smell like the original one, but
yeah,
they're all
they
a
like
little
kind
different.
Of, they have like a little vibe of the original people.
It's,
with their, like,
you know,
sort of,
it's so sequel trilogy because like Miami
yeah.
is to Los Angeles as Jakku is to Tatooine.
Yes, totally.
It's like kind of the same. They're both like warm and tropical.
Yes. They're both
many,
they have similar
like,
vibes.
Ethnicities living
coasts.
In a kind of melting pot culture.
Totally, totally. I just saw Charlie, don't worry, I did mention it. Charlie just texted me. Okay, good. She texted me, you gotta mention that I foresaw the ejector seat.
Oh yeah, that's so crazy.
And I was like, don't worry, I said it already. Well, should we go to the break? It's about that time.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Wee!
For real!
What's up, everybody? My name is Chance Nichols, and I am the host of We Didn't Peak. It's a podcast where I interview people who don't suck. I mean, they're people who are chasing their dreams, and we talk about their lives, where they've been, where they're going, and look, you don't have to be chasing your dreams to not suck. I know plenty of cool people who hate their lives, all right? Boy, this is less an advertisement, more an insult. Okay, well, listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Instagram at WeDidn'tPeak.
And we're fast!
And we're fast!
Before we jump into the game this week, I want to go back to our tally, our ongoing count for the year.
Let me pull mine up.
Mike, Josiah, and Hisui.
Yes.
Too Fast, Too Furious. Where is it on your list of favorite order? With the only other entry thus far being Fast and Furious.
Yeah, this is going to get really hard as we go out through the year.
Because
there's like so many of these movies. I think I like the first one more.
I think I do too.
I think mostly it's the Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez of it all.
Yeah.
Makes me like it more. I think it's like the cast a little more. But I do like this one.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out if it's more Star Wars than
the
first one.
Yeah, we'll come back to that next, or at the end of the episode.
Yeah, but right now,
we're
my
both
favorite,
in 1-2 order.
Yes, that's my ranking right now is 1-2.
Yeah.
Which seems right.
Okay, well, now we're going to jump into the game, and you may recognize this formula a little bit from when we talked about Wild Wild West, but instead of this being called Word Word Game, this is called Word Fun, Word Game, where are going to have to tell me the four-word phrase that follows the formula of Too Fast, Too Furious, a.k.a.
Sure.
A-B-A-C.
Mm-hmm,
all bastards are cops.
Yes, all bastards are cops.
A-B-A-C.
A-back. A-back, baby.
Okay, so you understand the rules of the game as they have been described to you.
Yes, I do.
You have the right to not play this game. You have the right to an attorney.
Oh,
if
I
this
do?
Game
right,
does not
I'll,
provide you one.
I'll get out of here.
All right.
I saw a great TikTok that was like, don't talk to cops. talking about all bastards are cops. That it was from a like an attorney of some sort. And she was like, basically like there were two clients. One was her client, one was not. The cops were trying to nail them for something that wasn't illegal, but the cops thought it was because cops are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And she told her client, she was like, just don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
Like, don't play the fifth. Don't open your mouth. If they literally come to your door, literally don't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, just don't speak words. Call me and I'll talk to them.
Yeah.
And, the cops like leaned on him really hard and tried to get him to say stuff. He stuck to it and just didn't say anything. And then the guy that was his like partner who didn't have her as a client or as an attorney didn't like admit to doing anything illegal. But because he talked, they were able to like pin something on him. And it took a year for them to drop the suit.
What the hell?
And so he had to spend an entire year dealing with the cops. And he has like a fucking felony charge on his record now. Not like, it's not like he didn't go to jail for it, but the charge is there. And the woman was just like, if he had not talked to them, if he had done what my client did, none of that would have happened.
That's so,
and she was like,
psychotic.
She's like, that's my biggest advice to people is like, don't plead the fifth. Don't like literally just be like, just don't say anything.
Yeah.
If a cop is coming up to you and like trying to get you for something, don't say a word. And I was like, that is so fucked up that we live in a country where that is what we have to do.
Yeah.
You know?
You just do this.
Yeah. Like, that's all you have to do. Just make a face. Anyway, where were we? Where were we?
Okay, it's word fun, word game. Too fast, too furious.
Yes.
I'm running out of these.
Yeah.
Okay. The first clue is You remind me a lot of your old man.
So it's A, B, A, C.
Yeah.
So the first and third word are the same. You remind me a lot of your old man. Is that a quote from something or just like a general quote?
No, it's just another way of saying this expression.
Right. I want to say chip off the old block, but that's not it. Because that obviously doesn't repeat words.
Or like, you really do a lot of the same things that your dad does. Or you behave the same way.
I can't think of it.
Or
tell me
you
what
are
it is.
Similar.
Same hat.
What if I told you that the word that repeats is like?
Like father, like son. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
All right, next one. Primates be repeating.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Monkey see, monkey do. This one might be my favorite one. If you remove the "thes" from a famous line from NBC's Heroes season 1, you get this phrase.
Save cheerleader, save world.
Oh, I'm so thrilled that you got it right away. Save cheerleader, save world.
I was obsessed with Heroes.
Yeah, me too.
I've mentioned this before on the show, but I watched the second season of Lost because I heard about the first season. It sounded cool.
Uh-huh.
And I read plot synopses online from like a forum because like Wikipedia wasn't like a thing yet. And or if it was, it wasn't like big enough yet to like have full show synopsis on there. So I read all the plot synopsis of season 1, watched season 2, did the same thing for Heroes because I was like, this sounds so cool. And so I just like, I think I eventually watched the first season somehow, but I basically read about it first.
That is,
and was like, this
nuts.
Sounds awesome. Superpowers.
Save cheerleader, save world.
Save cheerleader, save world.
All right, this next one is, this is kind of an egg pan, but it is definitely a mammoth play. And
no, this is
a film adapted from said play.
This is where I'm showing my bad theater major cred, because I didn't have to take theater history, so sometimes I don't know these things. Mammoth.
In this show/movie, you might learn your ABCs.
Okay.
And what ABC stands for?
Always be closing.
It's that title.
What? Wait, why can't I think of the movie that's from now?
And again, this is kind of a slant rhyme, as it were.
Why can't I think of it? I'm lost.
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Thank you. I was I went to Wolf of Wall Street for some reason, but that's not right.
All right, you might learn this in therapy. Or in like 12 steps.
Oh, sure.
Because it kind of has too kind of a catchy, snappy of a sound to be like super valuable therapy wisdom.
Sure.
It's a bit more
catchphrasy. Is it love? Is love in there?
No, it would be. It kind of indicates the perpetuation of pain or the the perpetuation of emotional distress.
No pain, no gain.
Nope.
That's not it. You wouldn't say that in therapy.
That would fit this formula,
though.
That would fit. That's interesting. I don't think I have any no's, because as you said that, I was like, no woman, no cry.
I can't think of this one. I don't know.
So
this is a hard game.
The word that repeats is an adjective in the first use of it, and it's a verb in the second use of it.
Interesting. Fuck.
Oh, and you know what else? Fast and furious are actually both just fast this time.
Oh.
It's A-B-A-B.
This is making it even more
this
confusing.
This is hurt people.
Hurt peep. Thank you.
All right, better get to the party early if you want the best pizza.
I'm bad at this game, I think. For some reason, Wild Wild West was easy, and for some reason, this is very hard.
This
for
might
me.
Be placed on a like an invitation where they mention that there's pizza, but there's a limited quantity.
First come, first serve.
Yes.
Thank you.
Speaking of pizza, this is a famous pizza chain slogan.
Pizza Pizza.
No.
Were
the sort of Fast and Furious in your mind there, the space and the period?
Yeah, the space and the period of the Fast and Furious. I don't know. Famous pizza chain slogan. I'm trying to think of pizza slogans. Like Domino's, Pizza Hut, one of those.
It's neither of those.
Is it CeCe's?
No.
Little Caesars?
No.
Well, CeCe's is not national. That's a local one for me. Papa John's. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Yeah. This next one is an ABBA song title.
Okay. Okay, not Dancing Without Mommy Mia.
And if you don't know, like...
Super Trooper,
more than, like, five ABBA songs, you might not know this title.
I do. I mean, I'm semi-familiar with the musical, but not super familiar. Give it to me, because I can't think of it.
Knowing me, knowing you.
Okay. I wouldn't have got that one, but I do know that song, yeah. Yes.
All right, this next clue is, these are the words I live by. Just ask Caitlin.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yes.
I don't know how I thought of that, because that's just, like, so stupid.
Yeah.
Just ask Caitlin.
All right, this is... I think still a breakfast cereals slogan.
Oh.
I would say, to give you more about the breakfast cereal, it is a sweeter varietal of the kind of main attraction.
Oh, okay. So like a frosted flake instead of a corn flake.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not quite as like obviously sugary.
Oh,
in its title. In fact, you know what? I might even just give you the name of it because I don't know that you'll get the slogan right away.
Sure.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Honey Nut Cheerios. Heart? Something heart?
No, but it's...
Oh. Be something.
Yeah.
Be healthy, be happy.
Yeah. Be happy, be healthy.
Ah, that was deep, like in the recesses of my brain,
yeah.
Somewhere.
I did this whole game to Caitlin a week ago when I like first started making it, and she was like, "Oh yeah, be happy, be hungry." And I was like, "Well, no, not if you eat Honey Nut Cheerios."
Yeah, not if you eat Cheerios.
You won't be hungry anymore. All right, the next is kind of similar to Save Cheerleader, Save World. If you take the or out of this, you've got the motto of, like, annoying assholes.
That's so vague.
Okay, I'll give you more. Yeah, that is really bad. Someone who sees any opportunity as it must be done to the max or not at all.
Oh, sure. Okay. Take out the ors.
Take out, there's an or in the middle. Which, like, with Save Cheerleader, Save
put
World.
Up, okay. Put up, shut up.
No, but that is kind of the same
idea.
Wait,
that's the wrong way.
Yeah, right.
The wrong way.
Yeah, right.
That's the wrong way.
It's funny because in Save Cheerleader, Save World, the, like, meaning is preserved, whereas this, when you take out the or, it, like, kind of, like, makes it mean the opposite.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Just like what you just said, put up, shut up, is like, well, okay, are you saying to do both?
Yeah, put up, shut up. I don't know. Give it to me.
Go big, go home.
There we go. Go big, and then
and
go
then,
home.
Comma,
and then,
all right,
go
couple
to sleep.
More. Get up that hill, train.
Chugga, chugga, choo, choo. No.
or rather... Get up that hill, little engine.
Oh, I think I can.
Yeah. Okay, this is how the notorious B.I.G. would describe the complications of wealth.
Mo money, mo problems.
Yes, that is correct. And the last but not least, it is how you might say más o menos in another language.
Oh, in French, I'm assuming.
The way
from your accent. I don't know what that is in French. I'm
comme si, comme ça.
Comme si, comme ça.
And that's
beautiful.
Word fun word game or whatever I call
word
it.
Word fun word game. Yeah. I loved it. That one was hard for me.
Yeah,
I don't know
that
why.
That was harder than Wild Wild West.
Yeah. Speaking of French and Spanish, we had a... This is boring, but it's interesting. I have to tell you. We had a tour guide.
This is boring, it's interesting.
It's interesting. I'll talk about it next week during the vacation episode. But our tour guide spoke fluent French and Spanish and English.
Wow.
Because we were on a tour that had a French family. And so, like, when you filled out your tour request or, like, your, you know, buying the trip, I was like, what language do you need? And so I was like, dang, they really found a guy that, like, just, and he probably knows more languages.
When we were in Belgium, in Bruges, we did, like, a canal tour. And the guy spoke... In that tour, everyone who boarded, he, like, grabbed their hand and helped them onto the boat and, like, got a sense, I think, probably what language they spoke just by how they looked, but would, like, clarify. He spoke English, French, I think probably Dutch, German, and Spanish.
This boat wasn't that big.
It probably fit 30 people.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to speak, like, full sentences of each every time. Because I think there may have even been, like, a track or something. But, like, when we had to kind of keep our heads down when we went under, like, really low bridges, he would say, like, you would hear, like, Peligroso and Achtung, like, all within the same, like, minute.
That's so crazy. I will keep this in now because now it's interesting. But it is funny the, like, American, like, it's just such a USA thing to only know one language.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? It sucks. We talked about this on the Patreon, like a while ago. But I was like, I can't learn anything new now.
Mm-mm. No way.
What am I gonna get on Duolingo? I mean, I will. It's fun. Like, why not? But, like, I don't know if it's gonna actually help me learn Spanish again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Let's aim towards wrapping up. Do you have any other notes?
No, not really. But we haven't talked a lot about Star Wars. We talked about things like ejector seats and magical EMP darts, which feel sort of in the science fiction realm.
And sequel trilogy-esque. Uh-huh. I guess here's the question, right? We need to figure out if it's more or less than the first one.
Yes, which we gave a 4 and a 5.
Right, so a 4.5 mean.
Right. I almost think this is more.
Yeah,
because it has that Star Wars-y thing of sort of going back to the well, but, like, just coming back with the same product.
You know what it is? Is it's like Return of the Jedi, right? Because it's like we made a New Hope.
Yeah.
Or it's like Force Awakens, right? Because we made a New Hope.
They're like, remember the Death Star? Here's another.
Yeah, and let's go back to the well. It's so funny because I was arguing with my I texted you and Michael Delaney about this, but I was arguing with my friend.
Oh yes.
About if Last Jedi was good or not, and he was arguing. You know, obviously on this podcast, we're Last Jedi fans, and we think, like, most recently you can hear us talking about it with Shannon, about how it's, like, one of the best Star Wars movies, if not the best, and it was funny talking to someone who doesn't like it, because I it's been years since I've had to defend it, right? Because, like, most people I know like it, because most people I know have good taste. Mm-hmm. Not to say this friend doesn't have good taste, but has a bad opinion about Last Jedi for sure. but I was trying to explain to him, like, one of his big beefs was, he was like, oh, well, the ending of Force Awakens was totally undercut by the beginning of Last Jedi when he throws the lightsaber. I think it was a bad decision to throw the lightsaber. And I was like, I think that's the start of his character arc, and I think it totally works. And he was like, yeah, but it ruins the ending of the previous movie. And I was like, I mean, no, it doesn't.
Yeah,
like,
not really.
And then I kind of used the example of, like, did the beginning of Empire Strikes Back ruin the end of A New Hope? Because in the end of New Hope, you think they've won.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they destroy the Death Star. Darth Vader's still alive, but, like, they have won. And then in the very beginning of the next movie, you find out that they're still fighting the Empire. Like, that doesn't undercut the fact that they won a big victory in the first movie.
It begins the character arc or whatever. It also begins the movie's arc. The character of that movie is, like, forget what you have known.
Yes, exactly.
And
exactly.
It does that by saying, remember the, like, 20 minutes of, like, silent, like, helicopter shots at the end of The Force Awakens? Like, enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah, totally.
We have to move forward.
There's many reasons why I think it's a good decision and why I think it works.
Yeah.
But then, like, I was trying to make the comparison of, like, even, and then he was like, well, that's not a good comparison because it's different and like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, he was like, because they didn't just pan over to another Death Star. And I was like, you're right. Sorry. They waited till Return of the Jedi to pan over to another Death Star. So like, if we're arguing that sequel movies can't undercut previous movies, then like, you shouldn't be watching Star Wars because they do that all the time. Yeah. Anyway, that was just a slight diversion. Yeah, it's very sequel trilogy. It's very Force Awakens-y or Return of the Jedi-y because it's going back to the well.
Yeah. Plus, it's got bangers. It's got a bunch of ludicrous tracks.
Got a bunch of Luda. Luda! Yeah.
There's it's a cartel that's kind of Jabba-esque.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's like, there's the racing. I mean, the racing is all very pod racing because it's like very, not eccentric. What's the word I'm looking for? Over the top.
Yeah, and it's even more so in this. Well, so like Race Wars in Fast and the Furious is very pod race because like each car person has like a kind of car that looks like them or whatever. But at the beginning of this movie, that first sequence like could not be more pod racy. In that, like, each person's car is, they may as well have been playing Fusion Frenzy on the original Xbox. Did you ever play that game?
I have no idea what that is, but that sounds cool.
It was Xbox's kind of answer to Mario Party. It was one of their launch titles. It was like a bunch of mini games that you could, you know, plug in all four controllers and
fun.
The kind of icon was like a different color balls. They were like steel cage spheres that would like bang into each other and try to push them into the water. I don't know if you've seen that, but
never played that.
Okay. Well,
that sounds cute.
The six characters you can choose from are like the green guy and like the yellow guy.
Yeah. It's like all their cars look like them. Yes. Like you said, it's like they have the, if they were characters in the Pixar Cars universe, that's what their car would be. Yes. That's what it looks like.
Yes.
Is there a hero's journey in this? I don't know. Like Roman doesn't, I mean, Roman kind of has a little bit of one where he almost becomes, but even then they're not really doing the things like Brian too. They're not really doing it for her. I guess they're saving Eva Mendez.
This type of movie, I kind of bunch in, like I said earlier, with things like Ocean's 11 and The Italian Job, because like the force of antagonist is, I mean, there is an antagonist, but it's more that kind of like chess match of confident guy versus confident guy, as opposed to like you take your beatings and you rise above it and you like reach new enlightenment or whatever. You know, it's like I have a goal and your goal is the opposite of that. And I'm going to pull out more tricks than you, which like is a fun sort of crime heist story framework, but it is not really a hero's journey where like you return to the beginning, but you have a new outlook on life. It's more just like you got the girl and you crashed your car into a boat.
And which is not very Star Wars, because Star Wars is a lot more traditional storytelling of like hero's journey wise and stuff like that. Whereas this is more of, you're right, it's like two opposing wills that are basically equally matched going against each other. Whereas in Star Wars, it's like underdog versus oppressive force.
Yeah.
And this is much more like two cool guys being cool at each other.
Yeah.
which you don't find like often in Star Wars.
Not great. That's not like as strong of a...
It's not as compelling, maybe.
Yeah. It is when like, you know, it serves this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I am interested in seeing where this series goes. If they, you know, obviously we start getting the same characters over and over, so I reckon that we're gonna get more like kind of characteriness.
Sure,
and as much just like pissing contest.
Yeah, and we'll get more invested too, because right now we're still not we're invested in Brian maybe.
Right.
A little bit, but with everyone else is new. So we're like, I don't know who this guy is. Like, what am
but
I going to
do?
You know?
I don't know. Mission Impossible is like, I suppose Ethan could be described as an underdog in that he is literally on a group called the Impossible Missions Force. He's an underdog in that, like, the thing he's attempting to do can't be done.
Right, right, right.
But otherwise, but he's not, because he's like an actual superhero.
I was going to say, otherwise, he is the most capable and competent and also ethically right and moral person in the world.
You know what? What somebody needs to do? They need to watch all the Mission Impossible movies and then write a Superman screenplay.
Honestly, that's not a bad idea, because Ethan Hunt is essentially
like
just Superman, but
as a spy. Like, he won't trade lives. He won't trade one life for a million.
Yeah. Yeah, he is basically just a superheroic Superman figure, just as a spy instead of, or like, you know, not even the spy half the time in these movies now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's actually a really good point.
So I don't know that his
anybody
movies...
who says you can't make an interesting Superman story just needs to go watch Mission Impossible.
Yeah, right. And I don't know that Mission Impossible have particular hero's journeys necessarily. They're kind of thing of like chess match where one smart and capable guy wants the opposite of what another smart and capable guy want. But I don't know.
Well,
I don't know if that's a bad framework. I said that it was, but like, if you were to boil down that as like the driving story structure compared to something like, say, a hero's journey or like a romance or a, you know, whatever, I'm starting to think maybe that has a large contribution to calling that like a boy movie.
Yes.
Like, there's not like much emotion. Emotional stakes or emotional growth. That's not to say that like saving a third of the world's water supply or whatever the fuck the plot of a Mission Impossible movie is doesn't have emotions tied to it, but the emotion is like urgency.
Yeah, totally.
As opposed to like self-actualization.
Like yes, some like personal stakes. Yeah. It's all like, we have to save the world.
Yeah.
Save children or save world.
Which is why J.J. Abrams should be commended for Mission Impossible 3, because he made the human emotional Mission Impossible movie so that we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, totally. We know that he's a human now. We can just ignore that.
Yeah,
for the rest of it. Yeah, totally. Well, let's see.
And Star
it's about
Wars? I don't know. Bad guy?
I don't know. We did a couple of actual good Star Wars points.
Yeah, no, we did.
But we should give it a rating.
I'm wondering.
Right?
Well, we can get to the number, but unit of measure.
Unit of measure.
Mine's going to be bouncing chrome universal logos.
Excellent choice. I think I got to say ejectocitos.
Yeah.
Ejectocitos, cuz.
Man, he always tries to steal his cigar cutter.
I know. That's really funny.
That's so weird.
He's just like, doesn't like this guy and is like, I'm going to steal his stuff.
Yeah.
I love it. Roman Pierce is too cool.
So as we said a second ago, we gave The Fast and the Furious a 4 and a 5, giving it a mean score of 4.5 Star Wars.
I feel like, what did I say? Did you say 4 or did I say 4?
I think I said
remember?
5. I didn't write that specific.
I think you said 5 too. I'm going to specify. Listeners can let us know if we're wrong.
Something tells me this deserves a higher score.
I feel like it does, but I don't think it deserves much higher.
No, it's
you know
like
I mean?
Goofier, but like, do we just both give it a 5?
I feel like 5 is too high though.
Well, okay, here. I think it deserves higher than the last time, and I gave that a 5.
Okay.
So I'll say 5.5.
Okay, and I'll say 4.5, which gives it a 5. No, I don't like that. But that's fine. We also, here's something that we can do.
We'll start like retconning ourselves.
Yes, we reserve the right to fine tune these as we go.
Yes, because it is a cumulative year of
ratings,
of work, of important journalism,
of important work. So it's 5 right now because I gave it a 4.5.
Right.
And you gave it a 5.5.
Okay. I feel good about that.
Yeah, me too. That's solid. Okay, great. Let's finish up then. Do you want us on the internet? Because if you do, you can find us at HowStarWars.com on Twitter and Instagram. You can email us at agoodpodcast@gmail.com. We did get a response from the great listener that emailed us just the word yes and yes in the subject line. So thank you again to that listener. I'm going to email you back again. Sorry that we are so bad at emailing you. Mm-hmm. We really only check the email when we record the podcast.
And since we're recording again soon for next week's episode, maybe ask if that person wants their stuff actually read on the show.
Yeah, let me ask right now. I'm just going to send them a quick email. They also said they were a new listener.
So you're the one.
Yeah.
And while Josiah is doing that, I'll talk about the Patreon. We also have a Patreon where every week we have a bonus episode, and there's a huge back catalog of all of those, plus a bunch of film commentaries of the Star Wars movies and other movies like Ocean's 11 and The Matrix. And there is a Discord server, and all of that is available to patrons for $5 a month. And you help support your friends, Mike and Josiah. And if you want even more of us, after the Patreon, after the main feed, you can check out Anarchy, the Improvised Rock Opera. Our shows have started back up again at the IO Theater here in Chicago. So if you live in Chicago, or if you can get yourself to Chicago, let us know. The shows are Thursday nights, and we can tell you which, if either or both of us are performing on any given Thursday.
Yeah, come check us out. We also have got some more spam, of course, but and we keep getting the ones from that say they're a Ukraine native woman. And it's so strange because they seem like they're going to be sexual, but then they're not. Very weird. Okay, come see us at Anarchy. Check us out. But Sandwiches of Star Wars is about time for Tippy. Bye-bye. So like we always say,
we love you. And may the Fourth,
be with you. Bye-bye.
Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Alright.
Star Wars. Yes.
Star Wars.
Alright.